you don't mind me listening to me for a few minutes. I've been thinking about three men in the Bible, three murderers. One denied, one of them tried to hide it, another tried to cover it up. The first one can be found in we'll read quickly in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. This, as you probably know, is the first murder in the Bible. This is the first time we hear about people, a person killing another, taking another person's life. I mean, the background of this, if you don't know it, is that Cain and Abel were asked to bring an offering to God. As the children here will know, that Cain brought the harvest from his fields, and that Abel brought the firstling of his flock. He brought an animal and slew it for God. Now, Abel found favour with God, but Cain didn't. And Cain, in conversation with God, had this explained to him, that it wasn't satisfying to God for him to bring vegetables or plants as an offering to him, that an animal, a life, had to be given. Now, we know from beforehand, at the very beginning, at the fall of the garden, that God himself took the lives of animals in order to cover the sin, to cover the guilt of Adam and Eve. And that is the example which Cain and Abel had seen, had known from their mother and father, that God desired a sacrifice and a life to be given. But Cain, in his wisdom, and Cain in his hatred of obedience, I suppose, brought what he thought would be sufficient to God. But we see it wasn't. And in his jealousy and in his anger against the favour that God showed to his brother, Cain slew him. But when God speaks again to Cain about this, he said, God says to him, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me." And but Cain, you know, Cain says to him, "See, I don't know what happened. I don't know where he is." He says, "I'm not my brother's keeper." So Cain denied the very knowledge of this murder. He decided that he wasn't going to admit it. He wasn't going to show any knowledge of it. But the next one was again a murder. Perhaps a bit more just, perhaps, if there's such a thing as a just murder, as a just killing, as in Exodus, and it is about Moses. And he saw one of his own brethren, one of his own Jewish people, being beaten, being set upon by an Egyptian soldier, an Egyptian slave master. And he saw it, but it says here in chapter 2, verse 12 of Exodus, he said, "He looked this way and that way, and when he saw there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand." We don't know how he slew the Egyptian. We don't know if he had a sword or a dagger, or whether he throttled him or stoned him with a stone. It just says he killed a man. But we can see it's like premeditated murder here. He looks this way and that way to make sure nobody was watching. And then he killed that man. He slew him. He took his life. For whatever reason Moses was thinking of doing this, we don't really know. I mean, obviously he had empathy with his own people being set upon. He saw how they were slaves, and he probably had a sympathy for them, had compassion with them, on them. But he still took a man's life. But the fact was, he hid it. He thought nobody was looking. And after he slew him, he hid him. He buried that body away where nobody else could see it. He thought nobody knew about that guilt, about that murder. The next one, quickly, is in Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 11, how that, we don't need to go into too many details about how David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and how that to hide that guilt, to hide that sin, he tried various other things to hide it, to get rid of that guilt, get rid of that, the evidence, as it were. But eventually, all his plans failed. He wrote a letter to the commander of the army, and asked that this woman's husband, Uriah, was sent to the fiercest part of the battle. And at the point of the fiercest fighting, all the rest of the soldiers would pull back and leave Uriah to his fate, to leave that brave, brave soldier to be slaughtered, to be killed by the enemies that they were fighting. Now, David didn't physically take a weapon into his hands to kill that man. He didn't stab him, he didn't stone him, club him over the head with a stone, or he didn't throttle him with his bare hands. But the plan was David's. He took the initiative, as it were. He wrote that letter. He planned it all, that man would die. David did that. He murdered that man to cover his guilt. And each of us in the world, every person in the hall tonight, in some respects, are like those three men. But we're not murderers. But like them, we're all sinners. Cain tried to deny the fact that he was a murderer. And we tonight, sitting in the hall tonight, can try and deny that we are sinners. We can try to deny the fact that we have all done wrong. But the Bible clearly states that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single one of us have done something wrong, whether it's just the simplest, tiniest wee lie, or to like Cain, and Moses and David, they were murderers. They took people's lives. We cannot deny the fact that we are sinners, because clearly we all do it. We all disobey our parents. We all break the speed limit sometimes going down the road. These are sins. We're breaking the commands of the government, of our parents, of our teachers. Moses, on the other hand, he tried to hide his murder. Perhaps tonight you're trying to hide your sin by doing good works. By coming to the gospel meeting here tonight, perhaps you think that by coming here is enough. If you came here every single Sunday, perhaps you think that's enough to cover your sin, to get rid of your sin. It's not. We cannot hide from your sin by doing good works, by giving our money to charity, by going abroad to work for charities, but to giving our lives to help poor people. People who are in need. These are not enough. And like David, he tried to hide his guilt by doing things, by murdering a man. Perhaps we think we can get rid of our sin by offering a sacrifice, as Abel did. But that wouldn't get rid of his sin. Sacrifices can't get rid of our sins. The death of an animal can't hide it. Can't. All the sacrifices in the Bible, all the animals which were slain in the times of the scriptures, were only for a season. These are only enough for a short period of time. And every time we sinned again, another sacrifice had to be given. But these can never, ever remove the guilt of sin. There's one example in the Bible, and that is the tax collector in the temple. That man, what I've read about tax collectors in the times of the Romans, were quite evil men, by all accounts. They probably were murderers. They were extortioners. They were collaborators, if you like, with a foreign government, with a foreign army, an occupying army. Nobody liked these people, because the very fact is they went along with perhaps they had backup, if you like, their bodyguards, their hard men, the tough men that would go along with them. They probably did terrible, terrible things to take the money from the people. But this man didn't try to hide it. He didn't try to deny it. He didn't try to do anything else to get rid of his guilt. All he did was he went to the temple, and he couldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He smote his breast and asked, "God, forgive me, a sinner." That's all he did. That's all he could do. There was nothing else which he could do. He couldn't try to deny it, because he was a sinner. He did many, many bad things in his life. If you believe the stories of what tax collectors were like. He didn't try to hide it by giving all his money away, by being like the Pharisee in the temple who prayed out loud about how good he was. He gave money to the poor people. He gave money to the temple. He didn't do this and he didn't do that. He didn't try to hide it. And he didn't try to cover up his guilt by offering great sacrifices or trying to do great things in the community. All he did was come before God and say, "Forgive me, a sinner." And as the scripture says, that man went home that night justified. That man went home that night saved. And tonight, if there's a sinner in the meeting tonight who's not yet been saved, if you've not asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, be like the tax collector. Be like that publican who asked God to forgive him. He didn't try to hide it. He didn't try to do anything else. All he did was ask God to forgive him. He accepted the fact that he was a sinner. He accepted the fact that there was nothing else he could do except to ask for forgiveness. Now, if you didn't do that, if you refused, like Cain, to acknowledge your sin, Cain, when God proclaimed the punishment upon Cain, said, "Thy punishment is greater than I can bear." When you think about that rich man and the story of the rich man and Lazarus, how that rich man, when he died, he wasn't saved. He had never came to God to ask for forgiveness. He'd never, unlike that, the tax collector, he never said to God, "Forgive me, a sinner." And when he died, it says he opened his eyes in hell, being in torment. Now, if we don't accept that we're a sinner, if we try to hide our sin and to do other things to get rid of it, when we die, we will open our eyes in hell because we have not asked God to forgive us. And that's a terrible, terrible place. It's a place of anguish, of torment. It says there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. But Lazarus was one of those people who asked God to forgive him. And he was carried to heaven by the angels. He was cradled in the bosom of Abraham. He enjoyed the glory and the splendours of heaven. That poor beggar who lay at that rich man's gate and you were eating the crumbs from off the rich man's table. He ate from God's table. He ate from that banquet which is laid out for every single person in the whole world. And all we have to do to get it is to accept that we are a sinner. To accept we can't hide it. To accept we can't do anything else about it except come to God and ask him to forgive your sins. So tonight, hopefully tonight, if there's any who's unsaved, we'll do just that. So we have to bow our head in prayer.